six.
Item number six is from the Employee Benefits Work Group requesting authorization to implement, as permitted by law, wage and benefit policies for active employee members of AFSCME District Council 48 by amending Section 1710, 1416 of the Milwaukee County General Ordinances. This was approved previously by Finance and Audit on a vote of 5-0, and Personnel concurred on a vote of 6-0. When it went to the County Board on 4/21, it was referred back to both committees on a vote of 11-7.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Mark Grady with Corporation Counsel. Because the matter has been before you and approved by this committee, I'd like to just say I have nothing further to add to my previous comments at the last meeting and ask if there are any questions.
Any questions? Supervisor, you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
Smith, then Mr. Burr.
The financial notes, Mr. Grady, did you look at these two, the last couple paragraphs here of our resolution? We've been through this, but I just wanted verification or get your... The work group, do we stand by these figures? Assuming a mid-year implementation in 2011, if that state bill would ever pass, okay? And the point of this resolution, of course, is that if it passes, then these things come on. And I feel an obligation. These are things we passed in the 2010 and 2011 budgets. So we have already voted on these things, of course, for the non-union representatives or part of the union that didn't accept the original packet. And we went through this long and heavy and many, many hours in finance to the difficulty of doing this. We had a $24 million gap. And I go back to fiduciary responsibilities and the finance committee and, you know, obligated to try to run a budget and follow through on the budget we passed as a board. So if this happens, it says the actions will result in savings of $2,096,247. Estimated these action result in a $10 million savings, $10.5 million savings in 2012. The 2012 amount, of course, $3.9 million is already budgeted. We can go over that if you want. But these figures do not include revenue offsets, so the actual levy impact will be less. So are we standing by these figures?
I have to defer to the Department of Administrative Services. I didn't calculate the figures.
Okay.
I don't know the figures. I know they are based on a mid-year change, so
yes.
Obviously, to the extent it doesn't get adopted until later, the figures would be reduced. But beyond that, I would defer to TAS.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, these numbers assume the July 1st implementation, so each month that these changes are not implemented, those savings will be reduced.
Okay. And then if there is, the idea being, too, if there's a cutoff date on if this would come into being, then we go pro rata on the furlough days, and that comes into that cuts some of the savings because right now the AFSCME members, of course, are more involved in the majority of the 26 furlough days, and that still remains in force. If this would happen, then we'd cut back and have a pro rata and cut back on the furlough days or cut those out completely. Is that correct also?
Mr. Chairman?
Thank you.
Ms. Mansfield. Yes, that would be the case. It would be on a pro rata basis going forward. The way it's kind of set is to, upon the implementation of these items, then the furlough days would stop at that point in time. A determination would be made of how many pay periods we are through, and a cutoff would then occur for the number of furlough days. The dollar amounts that are included within this document, an analysis was performed by myself independently from Mr. Regini, who was the deputy budget director at that time, and then we compared our two figures to come up with the analysis that was used here. For the healthcare changes, we went back to Cambridge and Mr. Hancheck, you know, from the budgeted amounts from the previous year to analyze those amounts, and so the amounts here, we attempted to do a verification of the estimates both independently and then compare our numbers for purposes of that to try to give you some verification that we went through an analysis to try to determine that the numbers were reasonable.
Okay, that's all the questions I have for right now. Thank you.
Supervisor DeBron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let's assume for a minute that the state, either the bill goes through in some vehicle, some way, end of June, and so it would actually be potentially effective starting July 1st as the fiscal assumptions is in here assumed. What would be the impact? Obviously, there's been a request to not take action on this until we know for sure what's going to happen at the state, even though this doesn't go into effect until, unless and until the state changes become legally effective. What is the fiscal impact if county government waits until July to give you the authorization to move forward?
There are two things fiscally that have to be done upon the adoption of the state budget repair bill item. One is, and the reason that these have to be implemented immediately is because they are in state statute, and therefore they would overrule what we have in currently in county ordinance. That would be implementation of the pension contribution at a rate of 6%. The plan would be to implement that on the first pay period beginning after the adoption of the state budget repair bill. So the 6% contribution would go in for AFSCME DC 48 members, and for non-represented employees, it would go from the current 2% contribution up to a 6% contribution at that time. The other thing that would be required to be implemented would be the halting of collection of union dues after that point in time. As a result, and the only other item that would begin to be implemented at that time would be the health care changes for retired employees of AFSCME DC 48. But there would be a 1 month or so delay from that point in order to give notice to those employees and give them an opportunity to change between either PPO, HMO, or HMO to PPO, to give them an opportunity. With the implementation of the pension contribution, you can kind of see by the chart the unbudgeted amount, the $1.8 million would be implemented, you know, to begin with. We wouldn't stop the furlough implementation at that time. So we would get both the rep pension contribution budgeted and the Rep 48 pension contribution unbudgeted. Those two portions would begin at that time. So the other items would not be implemented. So the health care plan changes, the overtime changes, the step freeze, and would not be implemented. And then the furlough elimination would not stop at that point in time until notice was given to us that we should be halting the furlough implementation.
I guess what I'm trying to get a clear picture in my mind is what is the cost to Milwaukee County if we don't authorize the administration to move forward in preparation for this law change and instead wait till the state, the law becomes effective. If there's a one-month delay, what's the cost to Milwaukee County for that one-month delay? Or whether it's if it's a two-month delay, then what's the cost for that? Because that's, I think that's one of the key issues before the board is facing, is do we wait until the state law becomes effective and then start rolling, or do we start rolling in preparation for knowing that we don't pull the trigger until or unless the law becomes effective?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just to make sure I'm understanding the question, if it's adopted as before you today, it would be, and under your scenario, all these changes would be implemented as soon as possible after July 1st. The one that has the biggest lag is, in my understanding, the biggest lag would be the health insurance piece, because there's a requirement to give the notice, as Mr. Mansky talked about. So if you didn't adopt this now, and we were in the July cycle, the county board adopted it towards the end of July, we would then probably implement the health insurance changes September 1. I'd look to Mr. Hanchek to be sure about that, but I believe September 1. So we would lose approximately a month's worth of savings on the health plan. Now, I don't know the numbers on that, but what you're looking at is what's that cost?
Yeah, you'd also lose more than a month. You use all of July and all of August, correct?
Well,
Mr.
Mr. Hanchek would still, if the budget repair bill became law at the end of June, the earliest you could implement the health insurance would be August 1st,
okay.
Even with if you've already taken this action. So it's August 1st versus September 1st, I think, is the difference.
And what's that say? What's the difference in a month?
The question becomes if you're continuing to have the furlough days, that those are still in place. Because you can see by the chart that's indicated here
mm-hmm.
that the furlough days, in essence, would be more or less offsetting, you know, the items which are the health care plan changes, overtime changes, and the step freeze. The items you would lose your savings on would be the first three items that are on the chart there in the fiscal note. Okay?
The health care plan, the overtime, and the step freeze?
You would lose those items until you implement it.
Okay.
And so you would lose approximately, you know, one-sixth of that amount, which would be $323,000 a month. Okay? You would gain, whether you do these changes or not, you would gain the next three items because those are required to be implemented under the state budget repair bill, which are the pension changes, both for the represented positions, okay, which is the 1.3 and the 0.8, and for the non-reps, which would increase them from 2% up to 6%, so you'd get that $830,000. Okay? So those items, you know, the first three items would not be implemented until this ordinance is passed. The next three items would be implemented as a result of the state budget repair bill. But the final item, the furlough elimination, would continue forward, which would more than offset, you know, the loss of the three items at the top, the step changes, the other. So you have more than an offset from the furloughs. If the furloughs continues forward, you have more than an offset to those three items.
So you're saying that if the county does not authorize this cycle to move forward and
mm-hmm.
instead chooses to wait until we know for sure what the state of Wisconsin's doing, whether that the law becomes legally binding and effective, there's no net fiscal loss to Milwaukee County.
There's no net fiscal loss to Milwaukee County.
Would there be any issue with the state of Wisconsin with delaying increasing the pension contribution or any of that piece? If the law becomes effective July 1st and we don't fully implement the state required pieces of it for an additional until September or whatever, is there any issue with the state on that?
Mr. Chairman, the direct answer is yes. The state law would require us to begin taking this pension contribution on the first pay period after its effective date. And so if we don't do that, we're in violation of state law.
So would you need authorization from the board to do that, or would you be able to immediately start doing that without coming to the board?
We would just start doing that.
Okay. Okay.
All of this indicated here is that the budget, the way the budget was built for purposes of 2011, there were changes that were included in Org 1972. You know, you're talking about the one fact here of if you don't implement it, you know, do we have a net fiscal impact change that is involved here? From the standpoint of where we are right now, there's because the furlough days and the other items, you know, I'm telling you that there's not a fiscal impact if you wait for the delay. Because of the fact that we have not completed negotiations, you know, with the union and we have not and because of the way that the budget was established with Org 1972 and certain changes in Org 1950 that were anticipated, you know, we're currently, you know, and that's one of the things we're analyzing, we're kind of trying to analyze right now where we are from a fiscal standpoint. What I'm trying to say, but not doing it very clearly, is that the way the budget was kind of set up is that we intended on getting certain savings from implementation mm-hmm. of contract items. Those not being done, there is the potential that we're not achieving towards the bottom line. Okay? There are various items that are changing at the present time with our numbers that we're trying to keep track of. From the standpoint of the question that you asked, if we don't do this, you know, are we behind? Under the anticipation that the bill would pass, no, you wouldn't be behind because of the standpoint that three of the items would be implemented whether you approve it or don't approve it. And if the furlough days continued for the other items, you're more than offsetting that. Okay. If you stop the furlough days at the time, you know, that it went in, then you're losing about $320,000 a month until such time that you implement the items.
But there's no move at this point to stop the furlough days until the
Correct.
Law changes are in. Normally, I mean, other than the required changes that would be in the law, most of the changes in here are changes we've already adopted in previous budgets. So normally I would have no problem reiterating we need to do this and be in preparation for the law taking into effect. But I guess I have some concern, or I have some question as to whether or not this is going to happen, because the Republican legislature could have readopted this law in all this time, and they haven't. So what's the administration's kind of assessment at this point as to whether or not the likelihood of this law going into effect by July 1st?
Mr. Chair, I don't see it as my job to speak for the administration. We just followed your budget and your adopted policy and brought it to you for that reason. So it was just to try to be, you know, prepared, organized ahead of time.
Maybe Luigi can do that.
One of the things that we're trying to work on, Mr. Chair,
yes.
One of the things that we're trying to work on this time is to get you a quarterly report analysis of where we are fiscally for the county. I think I believe it is the previous cycle, there was, you know, a status report of 2011 of where things were at. We're looking at various changes that are coming through. We're doing that analysis to try to give you an idea of where things are at. The current reaction within the Department of Administration, at least within my office, is the fact that we're under the assumption that, you know, it could pass, so we're preparing for that point. But we're continuing under the assumption, you know, day to day, mm-hmm. that it's not going to pass, mm-hmm. which means furlough days continue, you know, all of the other items continue as it is, and we're trying to meet the budget under the assumption that, under the assumption of the current budget.
Any further questions?
No.
Mr. Hare, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just expand on this question of the fiscal impact a little bit more. You guys are fine.
He wants to get off the hot seat.
He'll
be back.
Oh, he's in the way back.
Just very briefly, there are consequences here beyond the fiscal note in dollars and cents. What you're really faced with, quite simply, is a choice going forward of whether you will have a lower cost per hour for your staff because there's an increase in their contribution to the pension and their participation in the healthcare costs, or fewer hours of service and productivity out of those individuals. We're talking about, you know, furlough days as if they're mm-hmm. a dollar and cents thing, but they're also a service impact thing. If your staff have 10% fewer hours to serve the public, it has an impact. If you lay off people, which we haven't talked about, but the budget anticipated layoffs, if we could not achieve savings through changes to benefits, that also has an impact on the people you serve. So you're kind of in a place where you've adopted a policy to either achieve a lower cost per hour or to have fewer hours. And that is the 10 and 11 budget that you've adopted. The BRB, because of the way it's played out, has really complicated that in many respects, but the fundamental is that's your adopted policy to do one or the other.
Supervisor Smith?
Well, it was exactly going to, I wanted to mention both those points. When we looked at this for 2 years, it was the board who stepped forward when these layoffs were talked about. If we don't reach these numbers that we put in the budget, it's our responsibility. We put it in. You know, we should take responsibility. I am. It's because we got very difficult budgets, and these are the options we had, and they were limited. So what would you rather have, layoffs or furloughs? This board pushed, and the finance committee pushed the furloughs. Furloughs is not a plan forever. I don't want to live under furloughs forever. Unless something happens, unless we do something to follow through on the budgets we passed on this board, then we're going to have that forever. Or layoffs are coming. It's been threatened a few times. The present governor was going to do that. He was running for office. So, you know, that's the only way to achieve savings, unfortunately, is layoffs. I am not interested in layoffs for anyone, public or private, okay, what it does to the economy. So unless we follow through on what we said, then, you know, we're in this impasse forever, and furloughs go on forever. And, you know, this board has also talked about it. Many people are very concerned. We all should be concerned about service. I said this before. We were never a jobs magnet. We talked about government being bloated and, you know, there are jobs galore. You look at the numbers in the last decade, you know, full-time employees, 20, 25% down. There were 6,000. We're about 5,000 now, okay? So we've been hardly a bloated government. You know, we always talk about, you know, the mantra, and it's everybody follows this, public and private, say, well, the public should be like us. We do more with less. We have been doing more with less for a long time. We look at behavioral health, the situation there, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, in every department you can go through this list. We don't hire people hardly anymore to replace, especially veterans. We lose that institutional knowledge, and we get by somehow. For those who stay in the trenches, I compliment them. Both sides. So we're faced with a situation that do we follow through with the budget and what would you ask the work group to do or not? Now, I think all bets are off and the scenario changes if we come, and the answer to the question is it's in litigation. This whole SB 10, this mess that's going on, okay, is in litigation. They're talking about June maybe with some kind of definitive answer. Now, if this goes into the summer, we talk about June or July, well, then I think we need to reopen and try to do what we need to do in our contract negotiations. Okay? Right now, I feel a very heavy obligation to follow through on what we passed as a board and what we have to ask the work group to do. We have to prepare for what has to happen. And, you know, if we don't get these savings, then what kind of budget do we have? It's a hollow, fictitious budget then. And, you know, we knew going in that this was hardly ideal the last couple years. 1972 was the health stuff. 1950 is the pension stuff. Okay? And we've done it to ourselves. We've done it to all the non-union people. Some of the unions who, you know, came forward, some of those considerations had been done already. Okay? But, you know, there was a $24 million deficit out there. This finance committee... you know, went through a very difficult process, and we tried to do the best we could. I think we did under the circumstances, but it necessitated, it hoped for, it needed some of these considerations. So, you know, we can't go back on what we said. I don't feel like we can go back on what we said and what we did and hours of agony and going through all this. We have to be prepared is the point I'm trying to make. Now, if this doesn't come to fruition, okay, and there are certainly a lot of questions here, we have a June deadline, like I just said, in Madison. All this is litigation. This litigation goes on, then I think all bets are off, and we go back and look at it. But for right now, this is a resolution that talks about painful as it is, but it's a shared pain for everybody then. And then we look at this, and then it's a serious attempt to get our house in order and to balance our budget, which is our responsibility to do. It's a responsibility in good times and bad to try to share it, and many people have. I understand that, and I compliment the other people who have done that. But, you know, I think we need to move forward, and nothing happens in this. But isn't it foolish not to be prepared, okay? And if nothing does happen and this litigation goes on, then we look at things. But for right now, this nothing happens until and if this bill would pass. it's consistent with what we talked about. I don't think we can, you know, go back on what we said and the budgets that we passed. And so therefore, I'm going to move approval on this.
Okay. Supervisor Smith has moved approval. Any more further questions? We have one person who would like to speak on this, Bill Mollenhauer.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, County Supervisors. On behalf of District Council 48, I want to acknowledge that we have sent a communication to all of the county board. Basically, I'm here to ask that this matter be laid over for 1 month. And the reason for that is we would appreciate that the county board as a whole take up the question of whether or not the county negotiating team is authorized to bargain a contract beyond 2010. On April 28th, we had a mediation session with the Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission investigator, Marshall Gratz, and the county negotiating committee, comprised of the two officers that worked in the Labor Relations Department, indicated at the beginning of that mediation session, again, we were not face-to-face at that point, that they had no authority to bargain beyond 2010. Clearly, that was disappointing to the representatives of the locals that are affiliated with District Council 48. We came prepared to bargain not only the 9-10 contract that is in interest arbitration, but we've also came prepared to bargain an 11, 12, and 13, if the county was willing, contract. We would like equal footing to the other locals or other unions that represent employees of Milwaukee County, in that we would gain a contract that would extend into through 2012. And we are prepared to make a proposal to our constituents, our members, that would accomplish the savings that you require under your budgetary action. Having the inability to do so, we ended that day with the only comment that we could make, and that is that we are preparing an offer for final interest arbitration, and we anticipated that, in fact, the county had indicated that they would prepare a similar offer with a different deadline, a different date of response of the 16th of May. We haven't heard anything from the county since the 28th of April. So at that juncture, we've now communicated to the county board that we would desire that this matter of the work group committee be laid over for 1 month so that the whole county board can take up the question of whether or not the county negotiating team could be would be authorized to bargain a contract for 2011 and 12. And that's
Supervisor DeBruin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to try and be real careful about the negotiating public as Supervisor Schmidt just talked about, but I have to be really clear. I view these as very separate items, and just so you understand, so there's not a miscommunication, because if we adopt this today, these changes don't go into effect until the law goes into effect.
Understood.
So I don't view that action as preventing any negotiations that Milwaukee County might want to enter into with any union before the state law becomes in effect. To me, they're related in the sense that they're both personnel contract negotiation issues, but they don't. This wouldn't by adopting this, I don't view this as preventing what you're concerned about, at least in the letter that I read. And I guess I'd just like to make sure that my read on that is legally correct. Hello. Well, I mean, that's my view on it, but if there's something that I'm missing here, if by adopting this, all of a sudden that would preempt any continuing discussions, I at least need to know that.
I'm hesitant to give legal advice to the Committee on Labor Negotiation Strategy in open session.
Not strategy.
Yes,
I'm talking about an absolute impact as to whether one thing prevents the other.
My understanding of the current setting of the proceedings with DC 48 is that they are in interest arbitration for the 09-10 contract. Nothing in this ordinance affects any negotiations or arbitration over the 09-10 contract. This ordinance might have an effect on a negotiation for an 11 or 12 contract.
Notice has been given to the county of our intent to bargain an 11-12 contract as timely filed in fall of 2010.
Supervisor, just 1 second, Supervisor. Supervisor Mayo, followed by Supervisor Smith.
I'm a layover.
Supervisor Mayo has moved layover. Supervisor Smith.
Okay, I'll speak on the layover, I guess. I think, and Mr. Molinar and I had a discussion before this too, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate the union, what it's trying to do, but we've been trying to do this for a long time. These are two separate issues in my mind. I don't think there's any question about it. And we need to go through the personnel committee. We need to talk about this in personnel. This is we're talking about trying to review what we've been talking about. You said you've given to the Board of Supervisors. Do noted. You know, it's had a chance to look at it this morning. We need to look at this further. We need our labor negotiators involved in this, of course. And it's something we need to talk about tomorrow in personnel. This is a personnel and contract issue. So we can do that. But at the same time, I made my comments before previously on why I think we need to move forward in this issue at the same time. So I guess I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay, Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate what the employment benefits work has done. What they've done is implementing what we passed in the 2011 budget. But nevertheless, given the information that Mr. Molinar has presented us, and the fact that we have a former county executive who it appeared seemed to want to jam District Council 48, he's gone on to become governor, and he's been trying to jam all the unions throughout the state. So nevertheless, I'm going to be supportive of the layover.
Further questions, Supervisor Mayo? Any further comments? Okay, layover takes precedent. Madam Clerk, call the roll.
On the layover, Supervisors DeBruin?
No.
Mayo?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
And Mr. Chairman? Motion fails on one of 3-2. Excuse me, 2-3.
And Supervisor Schmidt moved
Schmidt
to
made
approval.
A motion for
on the approval.
Motion for approval, Supervisors DeBruin.
Aye.
Mayo.
No.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
And Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Motion to approve, 3-0. Excuse me.
3-2.
Do that every time. 3-2.
Can I ask one procedural question,
yes.
Mr. Chairman? Or
should
the thank you, Mr. Chairman. Should the personnel committee take up the issue that Mr. Molinar brought up and have a different option or whatever? Obviously, that is something that would also come to the board as well through the personnel committee, so the full county board has both options. And hopefully in personnel we can get a better, a more clear explanation as to some of the cross-related issues.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Real quick. Item number